You're listening to the 52-story series on the Do Life Different podcast by 1128 Community Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. 2024 is all about sharing the stories of people who call 1128 their home. You'll hear stories of doubt, hurt, and pain. You'll hear about faith being deconstructed and then reconstructed. You'll hear about answered prayers, meaningful moments with Jesus, and hear about experiences that changed lives forever. If you'd like to connect with 1128, please visit us at 1128community.org or text the word podcast to 414-441-1128. We hope you connect with today's guests.
Well, welcome back to the Do Life Different podcast. This is our 52 Stories series, and today I'm joined by Hannah Powell.
Hello.
Hey, Hannah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been asking everybody the same question. So we're going to start there, and then you get to lead us through kind of your story, your journey, and where you're at today. When in your life, when you think back about all of your years, when was faith like a thing that had, it became important, it became significant, it became something that was a part of your life and shaped how you lived?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Christian home, so faith was always kind of at the core of everything that we did. I think the first memory that I really remember is when I was 4 years old. I remember doing a devotional with my mom, and I was sitting in her waterbed, and I just remember being like, "Mom, I want to give my life to Christ," and so walking through that prayer when I was 4 years old.
How did you come to that moment as a 4 year old? Like, it wasn't just like you're like, "Oh, I need to do this." Like, what kind of led you there?
I think just because I grew up with faith and with the church, and that's where I felt the most loved, and I kind of knew that it was just the next step. And apparently at four, I was ready to kind of make that commitment, although I didn't really know what it meant at the time.
Yeah. So where did you grow up in this area?
I grew up in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh. Okay. Did you have a church you went to weekly at that point, or?
Yeah. Depending on kind of where we were at in life, we went to some different churches growing up, but I always had a home church as a child.
Okay. And what about, you mentioned your mom. She played an important part, it sounds like, in that faith journey. Were there other people, grandparents, neighbors, others that were involved in your early years of trusting Jesus?
So I was part of Awana, which is like a place for kids to go and learn like Bible verses and different things once a week.
Yeah.
And so that was really the foundation of my faith. I learned a lot of scriptures there that I still have memorized, and learned a lot about God. And then in middle school, I went to a youth group and had one of the youth leaders was a pretty significant mentor to me, starting then and continuing on to today.
Yeah. Middle school is a pretty like challenging time for most folks, right? Like middle school is kind of when you're realizing like, oh, I'm becoming more like an adult than I am a kid at this point in time. And so for you, you had a mentor that was connected through the youth group, or?
Yeah. So she was a youth leader, her and her husband. And I eventually went to a small group at their home.
Okay.
And eventually, I mean, now she's a dear friend of mine. She really helped me grow in my faith and was kind of that first example to me of what that unconditional love from Christ looks like.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. So you said she's a dear friend of yours still. So you guys are still connected, still talk regularly, see each other regularly. Like how has that relationship transitioned, transformed, and morphed into like a friendship more than, or maybe still a mentor thing, but more than like a youth leader to an adult relationship?
Yeah, so she was there in middle school. She would drive me home from youth group and get us like French fries on the way back. And then
where'd you go for French fries?
Culver's.
Of course.
That was the best.
Yeah.
And then from there, I started attending a small group in high school at her house. And that small group was completely instrumental for my faith. I met some of my very closest friends to this day there. And she really was with us the entire time we were going through high school and all of the challenges, and that just continued through college. And now, I mean, we spend time together, and I know that I can always reach out to her if I need someone to talk to.
Yeah. College, where'd you go to school at?
UW-Milwaukee.
Okay. So is that how you ended up here in the Milwaukee area then?
And yep.
Just kind of, you came and you never left kind of thing.
Yep, I came and I liked it and I settled down here.
Okay. What did you study? I don't know if I know that.
Social work.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, right? So you spent time working in social work settings and being with like helplines. And so tell me about that. Cause this, I think this is the coolest part of your story, but I don't know that many people know it. So to fill us in.
Yeah. So there's kind of a lot there. When I was in college for social work, I worked at a residential treatment center for teenagers, which was basically high-risk youth that had been justice impacted or were struggling in the community. And so I did a lot of work with them. I worked there almost 3 years. And then after that, I worked for Child Protective Services, and I saw the world in kind of a different light, and was able to help in that area. And now I am working for the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
So tell me about the first location. You said that it was for students, and you mentioned justice impacted. Like, help us understand a little bit more. Like, what does that mean, and what does that actually like look like, and how do you help with that?
Yeah, so there were teenagers placed there for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it would be substance use. Sometimes it would be different crimes. Sometimes it would be just because they were not able to be successful at home. Mm-hmm. And at this treatment center, they would live there. And we would essentially do all the different parenting duties. We would take them to school, pick them up, lead them in therapy groups, really just be that support. And it got to a cool place there because you know, all of these kids that think they're so tough, just kind of trying to mark their place in the world. And we eventually started taking them to a youth group. And it actually resulted in, at the end of the night, for some nights, the kids would all meet together and pray in the rec room, which was super cool, just seeing these kids that had been in juvie, these kids that thought they were so tough, spending time with the Lord, with each other.
Now, maybe we skipped this step, but How did you transition from like high school to college to wanting to study social work and get into like where? I don't want to skip that because that's probably an important piece here.
Yeah. So high school was rough. Middle school was rough. I struggled a lot with my mental health, and that gave me kind of the passion to jump into this. Mm-hmm. I also, in fifth grade, we had a student in our class move from India who had autism and some special needs. And so I started doing, it's called respite care for him, in seventh grade. And I would go over there before school. And so I was doing that all through high school. And then I worked at a program for kids with special needs and behavioral needs. And I did that. I graduated high school a semester early. And so I spent that last semester working with the one-on-one with high school students that had been kicked out of school. So it kind of has just always been there.
And did somebody see that in you and like speak it like, hey, you should think about this as a career path? Or
yeah, there were a lot of people that were very supportive, and they kind of noticed my strengths and called those out in me and encouraged me to pursue that.
Okay. All right. So now we're back to you're working in this facility to help with students that are impacted, and then you transition to working for Child Protective Services. How'd you go from one to the other? Are they similar in like what the goals are, or how are they different even?
Yeah, so everything is kind of intertwined because at the end of the day, it's just interacting with broken people in a broken world.
Yeah.
And so I graduated with my BSW, and that is when I transitioned to Child Protective Services. And I mean, working there, I learned a lot about myself and the world and other people. And I think that has really impacted who I am today and my choice to eventually become a foster parent and live that life.
Okay. And now we'll come back to that in a second, the foster parent piece, because that's just another really awesome thing that's a part of your story. But faith, working in these facilities, helping kids that are in, you know, maybe not the best settings at times. How has your faith impacted that kind of work with those kind of at-risk students?
There's a lot more compassion and forgiveness than I would have if I wasn't a Christian. There's a lot of realizing that the things that Jesus has forgiven me for and the places that he has found me and brought me up from gives me the ability to love people well where they are at and not come at them with judgment. And also, this is just exhausting work. And so it really takes having that faith to fall back on when things get hard.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, like you make it sound like your own experiences, God has used those to be able to help you relate and care for people better. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
And so like now you got a different role now, but when we first met, because you've been coming to the church maybe like a year?
Year and a half, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you've shared, you know, different experiences you've had with churches and things as well, and maybe not always feeling like you fit in or struggling because you're a foster parent.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand the foster parent thing. Obviously, you were working in a setting where, like, you were surrounded by the possibilities of helping people foster, but how did you come to that spot of saying, like, I'm pretty young, but I think I should be a foster parent?
Yeah, so I knew from, gosh, probably about 12 years old that I wanted to foster when I was older. I'm not super sure where that came from.
Okay.
My dad left when I was very young, and that always left a pretty significant gap in me. And I think that fueled a lot of my desire to just make people feel loved, and I firmly believe that everyone deserves a place to call home, and everyone deserves that family and that love. And so realizing that I had the opportunity to give that, I mean, 2 days after my 21st birthday, I applied because you have to be 21.
Right.
And it just kind of kicked off from there.
And so now you're 23, right?
23, yeah.
23. So you've been a foster parent for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of doubts do you have maybe like internally, but like what kind of things and doubts do other people put on you? Like what's, because I'm sure that's not easy.
Yeah. There's a lot of stigma around foster care even today. And there's been a lot of people that have looked at me and said, I mean, even my own biological father looked at me and said, hey, you're young. You need to live your life. You need to go have fun. You can wait to do this until you're older. And it's been hard to get some people to understand that this is my calling now. Mm-hmm. And I know this. And in my mind, it would be a sin to not live out this calling now because it's what God has told me to do.
Mm. That's an interesting way of thinking about it. How did you arrive at like that kind of a very like strong conviction, I'll call it?
Yeah, I mean, just spending time in the scripture, reading about how we are commanded to take care of the orphans and widows and how that's not a suggestion or something you can do for fun if you're bored, but we are commanded to. And that just kind of always stuck out to me. And I knew that the Lord had blessed me in a lot of different ways, and I wanted to be able to pass on that blessing.
Yeah. I love that you're referencing just like living in loving like Jesus is caring for the orphans and the widows and the marginalized, the people that maybe sit on the fringes of society and are overlooked or forgotten about. So I just want to say, like, well done on doing that well. I think so many of us, myself included, like, we want to do those things well, but in practice, it's really a struggle. And so well done, like, being able to live like Jesus in that way.
Thank you. And I can definitely say being a part of this church specifically has made following God's calling so much easier because of the the community that I've experienced here that I really haven't experienced any other place in my life.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that, because you've shared with me, you know, and some of our other folks around here that church has maybe been hard because you haven't felt necessarily welcomed as a foster parent, or maybe you haven't felt like your kids have been welcomed. Like, help me and our listeners, and maybe if there's other church, you know, pastors or others out there, like, help them understand like what it would mean for you to be welcomed somewhere.
Yeah. So I was part of a church in Milwaukee all through college, and it was really good. But when I started fostering, I had taken kids with special needs, kids with high needs and high behaviors, and a lot of teenagers, and they did the best that they could. However, they would kind of single my kids out as foster kids. Mm. They would, you know, put it on their name tags, just different stuff like that. And they weren't equipped to handle the behaviors. And so I felt like they were really singled out. And that was very different from coming here, where I'll never forget. There were a few instances. So I've been a part of a couple small groups, mm-hmm. Which is where, I mean, my community has come from. And there were a few instances in which I really felt that love. Mm-hmm. One of them was, we were just going around the circle talking, and I'm kind of shy. I don't really like to talk, but they kind of pull it out of me. And I just mentioned that I was really stressed out because my house was dirty. I was fostering some kids with some pretty big behaviors, and it was mm-hmm. so hard to get things done. And I'll never forget, they were just like, okay, we're going to come clean your kitchen for you. And I was like, I've never seen you outside of church. That's super weird. But they showed up at my house on a Thursday, a bunch of them, and deep cleaned my kitchen. And that was such a huge blessing to me, because it's so uncomfortable to ask for help, but they didn't even make me ask.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I know just from my time spending here on Monday nights with the students, like some of the girls in particular have come regularly. Do they feel like this is a safe place for them as well?
Yeah. So when I was switching churches, I had two teenagers with me at the time, and we were checking out different churches, and we got here and they saw the coffee and the donuts, and they were like, I want to go here. And then I sat through the service and I was like, I agree, let's go here. And that's kind of how we found this church, and they have really been accepted. I think one of the most impactful things to me is that I had a student who was facing expulsion for some behaviors at school. And we had the two people that were leading our small group showed up at the expulsion hearing on their own time and spoke on her behalf to the school board. Mm. And I think that's just kind of the unconditional love that you don't get anywhere else. And these kids feel it when they're here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really great example of what the church is supposed to be, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the church isn't just a place that we sit on a Sunday morning and then we go back home and we do our thing for a week. Like, the church is a community of people that are supporting and encouraging each other all throughout the week, and are there for each other in the good times and the hard times and the unexpected times. So I love that. That is a great example. I do want to get back to just now, you're working for the suicide hotline.
Correct.
988, right?
Yep.
How'd you transition from working in Child Protective Services to here? And that seems really stressful to me. So like, how does that affect you and where you're at?
It's actually the least stressful job that I've had, which is weird considering, but I've also been in a lot of high stress jobs.
Yeah.
So it got to a point where, because I was fostering kids with such high needs, they needed me home. Mm-hmm. They would have incidents at school, things happen at home, and they needed me home all the time. And so I had a friend who was working for 988, and she recommended that I apply, and I did. And I, by the grace of God, got the position, and now I work from home, so I'm with my kids all of the time, which is super important for that relationship building. And I mean, there's a lot of really, really tough situations that mm-hmm. we come across working in this job, but it's also so fulfilling to be able to communicate that hope with people. And even if I can't directly speak about my faith, to encourage them that there's a reason to keep going.
That's interesting, because I was going to ask that. Like, are you able to share where you get hope from and that source of peace maybe that you experience, or how do you communicate that to a person in a setting where maybe you can't say it directly?
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't just straight out come and say, you know, this is why I live, blah, blah, blah. But if they bring it up, I'm able to really build on that, you know, and we see people who have been in the church and it's hurt them and they're not interested anymore, and just being able to validate that pain. And we have people who are like, my faith is the only thing that keeps me going, and really encouraging them to keep pursuing that, kind of at whatever level they're comfortable at. And then also I can be a little bit more transparent about my faith with my coworkers, and just kind of, it gets brought into like different events that I have going on and stuff. And so just not being ashamed or not wanting to bring that up to them.
Yeah. Do you find that you're able to share kind of your story with foster parenting as well, as that is like an example of like what hope has done for you, and how you're hoping to pass that on? Or is that unrelatable for people?
I would say that fostering is a much more accepted topic than Christianity. So it's really easy to start there and say, yeah, I've got these kids. And then a lot of people say, well, why do you foster? And that gives me then the opportunity to share how I want to give that hope and love to others, because it's been given to me through Christ.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Do you find that most people who are calling, from like the same spot of looking for maybe just like connection or somebody to listen, or where do you feel like most people are calling? Like, what's the place they're in when they're giving you a call?
Yeah, there's a lot of loneliness, not knowing where to turn, not knowing where to find their hope, not knowing how they can kind of keep going.
Yeah. So as a person that's on the other end of that phone call, what would you say to a person that maybe has a friend or a loved one that's in a spot where they have thoughts or questions about their value or their worth and if they matter? Like, how would you tell that friend or loved one to respond to them, or what advice would you give them?
Yeah, so really just validating those emotions, telling them that it's okay to feel how they feel, and encouraging them to reach out for support. There's still a lot of stigma in our society that prevents people from speaking the truth about how they're feeling. And I think there's no shame in therapy. There's no shame in medication. There's no shame in the different healing that God uses to bring us out of those dark places. And I think that all starts with being brutally honest.
Okay. Last question here for you. There's a significant need in terms of foster care. Like, I think you told me at one point there's like months and months worth of like foster care, like kids just waiting to be like connected, right? So maybe it's not months, but.
Yeah, there's nights that kids have to sleep at the office because they don't have placements, and there's a ton of kids in group homes who are there solely because they don't have foster homes to place older kids in.
Yeah. Okay. So there's so many people I'm sure that have considered foster care, but they're maybe nervous about bringing somebody into their home that they don't know much about, or there's a whole list of reasons, I'm sure, right? Like financial obligations and those kind of things. As somebody that's 23, that has a couple foster kids, that works a job where you're talking to people that need help and hope and healing. What advice would you give to somebody that isn't sure if like foster care is for them? They're unsure if they can offer hope and help and healing and be a safe place for people. How would you encourage those folks that are on the fence?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me, it was just knowing that God was calling me to do this. And when God calls us to do hard things, he will see us through those hard things. We weren't made to live a life of ease or of comfort. And so when God says move, we're supposed to move. And it's really not that hard to love other people well when you've been loved so well by a God like the God that we have.
That's awesome. I love that. Hannah, thank you for sharing your story and sharing so much of like what it is that God has to say about you and how that's translated into the work you do. And again, thank you for the work that you do.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
If you're listening and like what you hear, I invite you to come back next week and listen to our next episode of 52 Stories. Thank you.